Well, thank you very much, Pastor Van Gelderen, for inviting us to be part of your conference. I'm really impressed by what the Lord has been doing in this place. The music has been just wonderful. The orchestra, the quality of the voices in the choir, the violins playing, I mean, I felt just in heaven since the very first day I arrived here. And we will be praying for you that the Lord will continue using you for his honor and glory to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And I would appreciate if you went by our table and you got one of our cards and took it with you and put it in a place where you can easily see the Venezuela word. And every time you go by that place, maybe your fridge or your, you know, night table, whatever, just pray for us and pray for our country. Our country is going through very hard times at the present moment. If you read the news, you'll know, and what kind of troubles our country is going through, and that means that we believers are going through very hard problems and troubles too. So please pray for us, pray for our ministry, and if the Lord opens the opportunity for Americans to come again and visit our country, we would be delighted to see a group of you coming and helping us out maybe for a week, bringing some of your music teachers and your teachers and you, Pastor, and your staff coming to visit us. Well, time is short, and I came to preach. Tonight or this evening, I'll preach a message very close to my heart, so I invite you to come again this evening. There is a long story behind the message, this evening's message. If you want to know the story, because I won't have the time to share it with you, invite me to dinner, okay? There is a series of movies entitled Mission Impossible. It is based on a television show of the same name that became famous in the late 60s and 70s. Maybe most of you were not alive then. But I was a kid, and maybe your pastor remembers that. And the plot consists of a difficult mission that a special team of well-trained people decides to accept. Their mission is so complicated and so difficult that it could be deemed impossible. The team consists of men and women well-trained in the use of weapons, martial arts, and who have vast knowledge of many areas of technology. And whoever commissions them puts all the necessary resources at their disposal to fulfill their mission. And today I want to talk to you about a mission. A mission entrusted to us by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a mission impossible to accomplish with our own resources, but perfectly possible with God's resources. And I want to invite you to read with me in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 10. And bear with me as I struggle with the language. Sometimes my tongue sticks to my palate. Takes a bit of time to calm down. And sometimes I talk like Yoda. I just put the words, you know, in the wrong place. So let's read the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1-10. And it reads like this. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day in which we can open your word and preach it openly. Thank you for a free country where you can share your word with people around us. I ask you that you will prepare our hearts, make us humble, make us receptive to your word. And if we have to take a decision, that we will just bow our knees and submit to your desires to serve you, to honor your name. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. In these verses, God is showing Ezekiel the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. It was a knowledge given to him by revelation, because only God can see in all its magnitude the crude reality of the spiritual nature of man. Reality that man cannot see by making use of his own resources. Because we, in our natural state, and cannot perceive with our senses and realize our condition with our intellect. Man can perceive, analyze, and study with precision the economic, political, and social problems affecting us, and we can come up with very brilliant solutions. Human ingenuity analyze and study with precision, the needs that humanity has, and our ingenuity enable man to find the cure to diseases, some of them that have affected humanity for thousands of years. But on a more personal level, we can find out a few things about ourselves. This morning I went to the mirror right after I woke up. I didn't like what I saw. I fixed it a little bit. But if you see you have a pale skin, a haggard face, a dark circle around your eyes, and an unusual coloring of your eye white, that could reveal that you have a serious or at least a health disorder. And that is just with our bare eyes. Now we have devices at our disposition. We can use an oximeter to know the concentration of oxygen in our blood. We can use a thermometer to know our body temperature. We can use a glucometer to know what our level of glucose in our blood is. We can use a blood pressure monitor and find out what our blood pressure is and our heart rate. And we can learn a lot about our health with just a single blood test. But despite the advances of man to know himself biologically, he has made no progress at all in understanding his own spiritual condition. The fact is that in his natural state, man is unable to know himself spiritually. Only God has that knowledge, and he has to give it to us. So in order to get that knowledge, he gives it to us in Scripture. So in the Bible, God has revealed all we human beings need to know, not only about God, but about ourselves. And without these two essential components of God's revelation, no one could be saved. Now let us go back to Ezekiel 37. And in that passage we just read, God describes the entire nation of Israel as a valley full of human bones. And the dead were everywhere. And notice that the Lord commands the prophet to get close to them. Maybe to let him know that they were many, countless. Because he would then be convinced of their condition, humanly irreversible. And to convince himself that nobody had been able to do anything, absolutely anything for them. And here we find something very important. The obedience of the prophet to the mandate of God is really remarkable. Because man by nature avoids this type of scenarios where there is human death and rottenness. I don't know about you, but it's the smell of human flesh rottening is completely different than any other kind of flesh. Usually the smell of death disgusts us and makes us just recoil, just be taken back. Seeing blood, exposed human flesh, even the sight of human bones makes us just step back. Maybe some of you ladies present will go after the service home, or maybe tomorrow, and you'll get some chicken and just use your knife to get the bones out. Maybe you got a T-bone steak, and then you just go around the T-bone steak, no problem with those bones. But when we see human bones, something within us just tells us to step back. So the Lord, through this vision to Ezekiel, shows us that the first step to have a real idea of the condition of humanity, spiritually speaking, is to get as close to them as possible. I found out a long time ago that singing, bringing in the sheaves will not help at all to understand the spiritual reality of the people around us. We got to get close to them. So God, with this vision, wanted to open the prophet's eyes to the spiritual reality of his nation. And in the same way, God wants us today to open our eyes to the spiritual reality of the people around us, not only in our city, not only in our country, but in the rest of the world. If you go out for a walk through the streets of your city with a clean heart and a clean conscience, if you get close enough to them, the Spirit of God will open your eyes to see the same thing that Ezekiel saw that day, that the landscape is desolate, that the dead are many, and that there is no human hope for them, because they are dead and they are just dry bones. And notice that in this vision, no one had done anything for those dead. The reality is that no other man could do anything for them. Think about it. If they were all dead and no one was left alive, who could have done anything for them? A dead man can neither help himself nor another man, nor anybody else. Ephesians 2:1 says that the natural man, the one without Christ, is dead in trespasses and sins. Romans 3:10 tells us that there are no exceptions, for there is none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 3:23 teaches us that because all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God, so no man deserves even a tenth of a square inch in heaven to set foot on. Now, human beings might be able to help themselves to improve from a physical illness, from an emotional trauma, or overcome a financial mishap. But those who are dead in their sins cannot help themselves at all in their spiritual realm. There is no man, no institution, no human device that could give spiritual life to a man dead in his sin. So Ezekiel had a vision of the spiritual death of his nation on a massive and terrifying scale. I remember years back, one of the nurses in our church told us that at the hospital where she worked, they had a section for people with AIDS. Retrovirals were not going to our country, so having AIDS was a sure death to those people. So she said it would be good that some of the people from church went there and shared the gospel with them. So my wife and I decided to go to the hospital, just ourselves. And when we went into that room, I have no way of describing to you what I saw. If you have seen pictures and movies or film of concentration camps in Nazi Germany, I think this was worse. It was just a deposit of dying people, skin and bones. Some of them couldn't even speak or walk. There was one lady laying on a bed and a mosquito net around her. Nobody wanted to touch her. Sores all over her body. She was a bomb of the virus killing her. I had never seen anything like that. But if we had not gotten close to them, we would have never known how terrible that disease could be. Well, humanity's problem is not really AIDS or cancer or any other disease. Humanity's problem is sin. And the best way to know, to realize, to some of us remember, the consequences of sin is to get close to them. But in verse number 3, God here tests the prophet's faith and asks him, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Well, you can apply CPR to someone whose heart has stopped just for a few minutes. But humanly speaking, you cannot do anything for someone who has died for more than probably 5 minutes. What can we say about someone who has been reduced to just bones? So what do you say, Ezekiel? What do you say, Ezekiel? Can these bones live? But Ezekiel said, O Lord God, thou knowest. And this answer tells me Ezekiel did not want to be disrespectful to God, attempting to teach him a lesson on biology. They were just dry bones. So he gave God an answer that could cover all bases. Oh Lord God, thou knowest. And you know what? He wasn't wrong, because God certainly knows. It was a wise answer in the midst of his doubts, because he had never seen such a thing happen. His doubts were fueled by his past experiences, just as ours are fed by our experiences as well. But if you remember that you once were dry bones too, there is no one that could tell you that other dry bones could live as well. Ezekiel had never seen a pile of dry bones come to life with tendons, flesh, and skin on them. There was no recorded history of someone, recording history of someone being resurrected that way. So therefore, for the human mind, this was an impossible case, an impossible mission. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith looks at what God has said he can do or will do. And faith declares that it is unquestionably true and acts upon it. Faith always moves the believer to action, because it knows that things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So a whole world of new possibilities open up before the believer. And living by faith is something so serious and important to God that he says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. We then see that God is not disheartened by the prophet's response and tells him, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy upon these bones, Ezekiel. Now I can go to the butcher's shop, buy a few pounds of bones, bring them to church and preach to them for 100 years and nothing would happen. I can go to the city morgue, enter the room where the corpses are kept and preach to them for 100 years and nothing would happen. I can go to the nearest cemetery where the dry bones of hundreds of thousands, maybe thousands, hundreds of thousands of deceased people lie in their graves and preach to them for 1,000 years and they would never listen to me. And the reason is that only biologically living beings can hear and understand the preaching of the Word of God. So this vision is not talking about people who are physically dead. It refers to people physically alive, but spiritually dead. God is asking the prophet to speak to people like you and me with the ability to hear and reason what they are being told. And notice what God commands Ezekiel to say to the dead. Hear the word of the Lord. God's command to the prophet was to preach. And his command to the dry bones was to hear the word of the Lord. Now, I have been to many funerals preaching to the living, and I have never taken the deceased person into account. It would be ridiculous to preach to a dead man. He would never listen. And much less come alive. It would make no difference. He would remain dead no matter what. I'm 100% sure of that. Nonetheless, when preaching in a funeral, I have always preached to the spiritually dead, those without Christ, because I have no doubts that they can live. And every time I stand before a group of non-believers, I know that he sees them as a pile of dry bones, dry, lifeless dry bones. And I can just imagine the Lord saying, Victor, every time can these bones live? Can I bring them to life? And then I remember that I once was dead. And I was nothing more than a pile of dry bones, full of physical, mental, emotional, biological life, but spiritually speaking, totally dead, as a pile of dry bones. But a young missionary in the early 70s, named Howard Musgrave, a Southern American country boy, believed that this pile of dry bones in Venezuela could live by the power of the gospel. And he said to the Lord, yes, Lord, those Venezuelans' dry bones can live, and they will live like I came alive one day when someone preached your word to me. And the Lord said to him, prophesy then on these Venezuelan bones, Howard, and say, hear the word of the Lord. We can preach our own message to the unsaved. Preach it for 1,000 years, and nothing will ever happen. The only hope for those dry bones of those dead in their sin is to preach to them the word of the Lord. So we as believers are empowered to go and tell them, to go and preach to them. Just grab the word of the Lord, visit them, knock on doors, find them in public places, take a Bible tract, share it with them. It's God's job to give them life, it's not yours. And maybe someone here has never had a personal encounter with the Savior. Your condition was exactly the same as the rest of us who once confessed Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I want to invite you today to see in Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, who paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood to pay your debt of sin, to make you a new creature, to give you eternal life, make you his son, and use you for his honor and glory. Let us bow our heads down and let's pray.